Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa, and by the Lord's grace, I am blessed to come to Him in worship today, also in the preaching and teaching ministry of the Word. It is my joy to meet with you, dear friend, at this time in the ministry of the Word also. Learn more about our ministry, Mission Africa, at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Friends, we've been speaking about the truth that the Ephesian Christians had left their first love from Revelation chapter 2, that's verses 1 through 7, especially found in verses 2 through 4. This is the indictment of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church of the Ephesians. We continue to talk about this today. Turn there with me in your Bibles as you can. That's Revelation chapter 2. In verses 1 through 7. Hear now the word of the Lord, Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Friends, let us pray. O Lord, we remember your word to us, your commandment to us, that we are to love you with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, with all that we are, and that we are also to love our neighbor as ourselves, to seek their welfare as we seek our own welfare in life. O God, forgive our sin of not loving you as we should, of not loving you fervently with all of our hearts, in a love that is fervent and pleasing in your sight, and grant us grace to understand this issue much more today, and by your grace to consider our sinfulness in this area, confess our sinfulness, and then repent of this sinfulness and seek to love you much more fully with all of our hearts. Guard us from distraction during this time, Lord, and we pray that you would have your glory as the truth of God is communicated to the people of God and to all who will hear today. Have mercy upon us and save us from our lovelessness, save us from our sins, and bring us ever more fully into the love of God, into the love of Christ, which surpasses understanding. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Friends, we've been talking about the problem of love as we find it in these verses in Revelation chapter 2, in which the Lord himself brings before the Ephesian church his ought, that is, his issue that is against them, that they had left their first love. This is such a great problem for the church, for Christians, and it is also a common problem for the church and for Christians. God's intent for his church is that we love him supremely, that every Christian believer have a paramount and abiding love in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is loved above all others. In fact, God has given his commandment to us. He has declared to us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that the very purpose of the commandment, that is the word of God, is love. God's very word is given to us to produce love in human hearts, that we might love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. Love for God is the first commandment that we find in the Bible. We find it in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. It's phrased a bit differently in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 through 38, Jesus tells us that the first and great commandment that we must obey is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is, with all of our being, all of our powers, with all that we are, our will, affections, and understanding. and that the second commandment is like it, that is, it is a commandment that also deals with love, and that because we love God, firstly, we are also to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to have a due concern for our neighbor. We cannot disregard our neighbor and his welfare. God has made our neighbor as he has made us in the image of God, and we are required to love our neighbor. Love for God and love for one's neighbor is the very heart of Christianity. It is the commandment of God in essence. And so to depart from love, to leave one's love for God, one's first love, in which a believer has trusted Christ, received God's saving love, received salvation, and thus is enabled to love God with all of one's heart, mind, and soul, and strength. To depart from this, to leave this behind, is a most serious issue. So the Lord addresses this issue in these verses, this great fault of the Ephesian church. As we've mentioned before, this fault, this sin, led to the demise, the death of the Ephesian church. If a professing believer becomes loveless toward God, if he leaves his first love in a degree where he actually departs, then in a real sense, his relationship with God dies. And so we must keep ourselves in the love of God, another commandment of Christ to us, and in the patience of Christ, endure all troubles and continue with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength to love the one true and living God, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood to save us from our sins. We've been looking at verses 1 through 7 of Revelation 2 to better understand in context the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ about the Ephesians leaving their first love. And we continue today at this point, that is, that we see in John chapter 13, verse 34, that the Word of God says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another," that's fellow believers, "as I have loved you, that you also love one another." The commandment to love God and love one's neighbor is found in the Old Testament, but here Jesus Christ gives a new covenant commandment, that is, that we are to love other believers, those redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, not as ourselves, as we saw in Matthew 22, 37, and 38, but we are to love other believers as Christ has loved us. This is the great new covenant commandment, love as Christ has loved us. And as we consider for a moment today the love of Christ for believers, we instantly think of Christ's love as being a fervent, all-consuming, surpassing love that guided him, that kept him every moment of his earthly existence during the time that he was here as the Son of Man. He never sinned. In essence, perfectly loved God every moment of his human existence before his death and resurrection, and he also perfectly loved his neighbor every moment of his human existence. He perfectly kept the commandment of God. Christ always maintained his love, if you will. That is, he loved God supremely and he loved his neighbor as himself. And because of his surpassing love for us, he laid down his life for us, the Bible tells us. He suffered for us, not for himself. He had no sin that would bring suffering upon himself, but he suffered for our sins, even to the point of the death of the bloody cross. And so God consummately blessed his Son in grace, and the Son of God consummately loved his Father with all of his being during his incarnation. We must note also, as we consider the love of God, the love of Christ for his people, that Christ always loved his Father before his incarnation. He is eternally the Son of God. He has always been God's Son, equal to the Father. He has always, always loved God, his Father, with all of his being. He loved God with all of his being every moment of his incarnation, and he loves God now every moment of his existence after his ascension to the heavens, after his resurrection from the dead. He has eternally loved God, his Father, in a love without beginning or without end. And Christ has eternally loved his people, his elect children, his saved people, because he never changes. His love for his people has no beginning or end. We who are in Christ have always, always, always been loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have always, always, always been in his heart. His love for us has no beginning. It has no end. And it is a love like this that Christ requires of his people, that we love each other with a love that endures all things, that bears all things, that never fails, that always continues. And so we are to love his blood-bought people in this way, as Christ has loved the church. We quickly note, too, that God the Father has always, always, always loved the children of God in Christ Jesus. God has always loved his Son in a love that has no beginning or end. And so he has always loved the children of God in his Son with no beginning or end. And we are comforted to know that God loves us in this way. His love for you, dear believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, had no beginning. It has no end. He has always loved you before your creation. He will always love you after you leave this world and depart and go to be with him forever, for all eternity, forever and ever. He will love you and lavish upon you the love that he has for his own Son, because you are in his Son forever and ever, in the love of God, the deep, deep love of Christ, which is beyond our ability to fully comprehend, but which we enjoy and experience. Sadly, the Ephesian Christians had been so affected by the world, by sin in the world, by their own sin, that they had left their first love. That is, the love they had for Christ, for God, at the beginning of their faith, when they began their walk with Christ, when they first trusted Christ and gave their lives up to Christ in repentance, at the commencement of their true spiritual worship of Christ and God in the church, when they were born again. Then their love was fervent. It was on fire, as we say. But they left this hot, fiery love for Christ. They perhaps left it behind, we might say, though they were still patiently serving Christ, laboring hard for Christ in his glory, persevering through great difficulties for Christ. They had left this aspect of a heart love for Christ. They were doing good things, but without an acceptable love for God. Again, God's requirement is that his love be supreme in our lives, above that of any other person, above any love to anything, that he be loved in this way. He is God, and he must be loved in this way. They had ministry with less than an acceptable love for Christ. And I'm afraid this is a common temptation for us. That is that we can begin to really lose our focus and we begin to serve Christ for other reasons, not primarily for his glory and not primarily in love, so that we can easily slip into a loveless service, a loveless ministry, even a loveless worship. We simply do that which we have learned to do, which we know is right to do, but without all of our hearts being given to Christ in love in this. And this fundamental error, this fundamental sin, led to the declension, that is, the downturn of the church of the Ephesians, and eventually to its death. Jesus says that this is a great fall for them, that they have fallen from their first love. We see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen." And this is such a great fall, such a grave and serious error and sin, that if it is not repented of, Jesus tells the Ephesians clearly in this vision that he will come to them quickly and remove their lampstand from its place. We see in this that though the Lord Jesus Christ is long-suffering and very patient with his people, he is the essence of patience and long-suffering in his great love for the church, yet nevertheless there is a point reached when Christ will take quick action and actually bring a church to cease to exist. Christ will cause a church to no longer be if it continues without its first love and if it does not repent of this killing sin. This is a deadly error. This is such a great sin, turning from Christ, love to Christ, the heart of Christianity, to a lawlessness, that is, not loving Christ fervently. And it is sinful because it strikes at the heart of God's relationship with believers. And the heart of God's relationship with believers is love. God's requirement for believers is that we continue with him in his love. A Christian writer put it this way: Christ's sacrificial love as its model and the community of believers as the primary but not exclusive place in which it is expressed. So the love of Christ, the sacrificial love, he laid down his life for us, he bled and died for us to save us from our sins, is to especially be modeled and seen in the church. It is not to be seen there exclusively. That is, it is to be seen outside of the church as Christians love all people, their neighbor as themselves, but it is to be primarily seen in the church, and it is to be expressed in the church to the redeemed brothers and sisters that meet in holy worship. Love, the heart, the soul of religion, of Christ's religion. Love, which is supremely important and essential. A love in which Paul says, if he lacks, he has become nothing. Without the love of God, in a real sense, we are nothing. But in the love of God, we are his saved children, redeemed by the precious blood, made the faithful worshipers of God. Because God is love, this essential attribute of his being is crucial to the life of a Christian, crucial to the life of a church. Love, the sum and substance of the Christian faith. God is love. And we find in these remarkable verses that love for Christ must be fervent. It must be a full-hearted, full-bodied love, if you will. The word love is used over 500 times in the Bible, and it's used hundreds of times in the New Testament. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, we see the commandment that we are to speak the truth in love. We see that truth and love are bound together here. We are not just to hold to the truth, but we must hold to the truth in love and speak the truth in love. Romans 13, verse 10 tells us that love for God and our neighbor is the fulfilling of the law. And for a Christian, love for God and one's brother in Christ fulfills the new covenant commandment of Christ. John 14, verse 15 says that Jesus tells us, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Many of the commandments deal directly with love for God and love for our neighbor, and especially believers. Matthew chapter 24, 12 says that the love of many will grow cold. Jesus, in telling us about the future, warns of troubled times when the love of many will grow cold. They will lose a fervent love for God. And we are tempted in troubles, especially great troubles, to look away from God, to doubt God, to forget His love, to not keep ourselves in the love of God, and for our love to grow cold. But these particular times are times in which we must remember especially to keep ourselves in the love of God and not let our love grow cold, though many will let that happen to themselves. Romans 5, verse 8 says that God commends His own love toward us and that Jesus came and died for our sins. God loved us, His dear people, while we were yet sinners. And though we were sinners without love for God, He loved us and commends His love toward us in giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us sinners with absolutely no love for God. And He saved us, and we were born again, and we received the love of God into our very souls. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11 says that God terms Himself the God of love and peace. Here again, love and peace are bound together. And 1 Timothy 1, verse 14 says, "The love which is in Christ Jesus is the love that is found in believers." The love of Christ that He has blessed us with in our saving union through faith. The love of Christ Jesus which has come into us. Titus 3, verse 4 says that the love of God, our Savior, toward man has appeared. And His great work of reconciling us is seen because He loved us. And so He calls us to mercy and to a holy walk with Him because He is our Savior, He is our God who loves us in this way. 1 John 4, verse 9 speaks of the love of God that is manifested to us. Here again, God's expression of love, according to His very word, is that He gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And John continues that if God has loved us in such a way, so it is that we also ought to love our brother in this way. Jude, verse 21, says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." A most important verse for us in these troubled days. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Remember often God's love for you. Remember the cross. Remember the love of Christ. Remember that Christ has loved you, shed His blood, given you His love. Keep yourself in it. Love God in return. Don't allow yourself to live in lawlessness. Do not allow your love for Him to cool. Do not leave your first love. Maintain a supreme love to God above all things, above all people. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19 says, that the Lord rebukes and chastens as many as he loves. How we need his rebukes and chastisement. Sadly, many are rebuked and chastened and depart from Christ. Some, like Esau, apostates. But the Lord is faithful as a father to rebuke, to show the error of his children to them, and then to chasten them, that is, to discipline them, to bring pain upon them for their error, that they will repent, turn from their sins, and turn back to God. And of course, we find the love of God so eloquently spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where love is the all in all of Christianity. And love is described for us there as being essential. Without it, we have nothing, we are nothing. And that love is seen in us, that it is patient, it is kind, it is not envious, it does not parade itself, it is not puffed up, it does not behave rudely, it is not provoked, it insists not on its own, it keeps no record of wrongs, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Paul teaches us that faith, hope, and love endure now, but that the greatest of these is love. So to leave one's first hot, fervent love for Christ brings his rebuke and chastisement upon the Ephesian church. It is, in fact, to depart from Christ in a measure and to have less heart for Christ. Friends, our time is gone for today, but let's end on this note. Hold yourself, keep yourself in the precious love of God, and let us glorify him now in prayer, in that he has loved us in this most wonderful way. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. You have loved us, giving yourself fully for us, Lord. And how comforting, how encouraging it is that every moment of your human existence, you loved God perfectly and fervently. And you loved your neighbor perfectly and fervently as yourself. God, we rejoice that you have given us the commandment to love our brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ has loved us, to lay down our lives for them, to sacrifice ourselves, to love them, to constantly forgive them and bless them, pray for them and help them in Christ, to love them indeed as we love our very selves. How precious your word is to us, Lord, and I thank you personally for the clarity that you've given me and seeing the great importance it is that we keep ourselves in our first love, a fervent love for you. O God, kindle afresh and anew our love for you, and then kindle afresh and anew our love for each other and for all, that we may, because of love for you, serve you and worship you and bring the good news to others and pray and turn from sin and honor you supremely during this short time you've given us here in trial in this wilderness world, knowing that soon you will redeem us perfectly into the love of God. Glory and praise to you, Lord. Bless your dear people with this truth in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.